If you flip your bulletins to the back side, there's an outline on there. When Julie went over my outline, she says, Wilmer, that's a lot of stuff to talk about. I said, honey, before I gave it to you, I hacked out 11 pages and that I already had developed, and I went through it, and I realized there was too much stuff. So when you look at your outline and you say, oh, Wilmer, that's a lot of stuff, really, it's probably only a third of what I wanted to get to do. What we're going to talk about today is Palm Sunday and Passover. And in the church, we celebrate Palm Sunday as a major event. And Passover is a major event that the Jewish people talk about. And we're going to use the scripture text today of Exodus 12. And on your bulletin, it says Luke what? Luke 22 is one of the ones that I hacked out. Both Julie and I didn't catch that when we went through it. So write down Luke 19, 33 through 38, which I was going to talk about, and then talk about 22, but I hacked the other one out, and I hope I can just color it in a little bit. Now then, as we move forward, we're talking about the feasts of Israel here in April. And some of you may wonder, like, Wilmer, why in the world are we spending a whole month to talk about the feasts of Israel? And what I'm trying to do is to create an environment where you can understand not just the feast historically, but how practically Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these in a factual way that you can use. I don't know how many of you have noticed how much Christianity is under attack in the media these days. I had the opportunity to watch the national news three times this week. And when I watched the national news, one of the key stories on each of those 3 days was a direct attack against our Christian faith. One of the nights was about the Da Vinci Code. And the big story was the authors of this fictitious novel, The Da Vinci Code, was in a great big lawsuit in London because some guy was claiming you stole all the ideas from my book to write your book. And The Da Vinci Code has been on the top 10 list for about 5 months running in New York. It's a big thing that people are reading, The Da Vinci Code, which is, quite honestly, it is fiction, but it's blasphemous in what they're presenting. Then the next time I got to watch the news, they were talking about the new great and wonderful novel called The Jesus Papers, which the big premise of this book, which is rocketing up the popularity charts in reading, is that Jesus never died, which is blasphemous. Because if he didn't die and if he didn't raise from the dead, then all that we believe is bunk. Right? Well, then the next day that I got to watch the news was several days later, and the big story was the gospel according to Judas, the Judas gospel, and the $40 million that National Geographic is spending promoting this gospel right as we go into Holy Week. It's not just Islam that's attacking Christianity. What we believe is being attacked from all sides, brothers and sisters. And what I'm trying to do is give you factual, historical, and relevant personal data that you can use in this warfare. You see, these four feasts, the Feast of the Spring, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks, Jesus completely fulfilled all their historical revelation in his first coming. And then these next three feasts that come in the autumn, when he comes again, which he's doing soon, he will come in harmony with these feasts. When you read Revelations and the trumpets are blowing, guess what they're talking about? And when you read them about everybody standing in front of the judgment throne, that's what he's talking about. And when we spend 1,000 years ruling and reigning on a new heaven and a new earth with him, that's what he's talking about. It's these same feasts. Now, why would you care? All these festivals are at the same time historical and, that's how you spell prophetic, to put in your outline. They are historical and they are prophecy. And Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies. And you can use these factual deaths. All these festivals teach us about the Messiah whose name is Yeshua. Gentiles call him Jesus. But that ain't his name. People call me Bill. But that ain't my name, folks. My name's Wilmer. Took me years to get comfortable with it, but I'm comfortable with it now. You know, and I can go by Wilmer. His name isn't Jesus. His name is Yeshua. When we just finished reading the book in the Old Testament that's called Joshua, do you know what the real name is? Yeshua. And we finished reading Joshua. We read the book of Ruth, which is a great illustration of what we're talking about today. And all these festivals are agricultural in content. Now, what does that mean to us living here in Cornfield County? It means something important, that God is basing His understanding of everything around the agricultural community we live in. God's not a big city guy. He's a small town, small church, country boy. Like us. This is all relevant to you and I. We're in the right place at the right time to experience the wonder of who He is. Now, all the festivals teach us about our... what is the blank? It's all about your personal relationship with God. And the Hebrews will not write all the letters to God because they're afraid they'll write it wrong and be cursed. That's why I put the hyphen in. That's the way Jews write it. When they write Lord, they don't put the O in there because they don't want to mess it up. With God and how you can walk with Him as you grow in knowledge of Him from being a baby believer to a mature believer. That's why it's important for you to understand this stuff. And lastly, because we're going to talk about freedom. We're going to talk about the wonder of who Jesus is and the miracle of what He's done. But the end product of that for you and me is freedom. Freedom from the slavery of the old ways and sin. So, Passover. Passover started in Egypt, where the children of Israel had become slaves, which is a picture of us. We were born free, and Adam and Eve sold us into slavery for a knowledge. Right? Well, same way with the Israelites. They went to Egypt, free men, and they became slaves. Now, Passover celebrates God's what? Deliverance is your blank. Deliverance from Israel. Of Israel from the bondage of slavery. So that's what it celebrates. And the spiritual application God wants us to understand is this. Egypt is a type of the world and the world system. Its ruler, Pharaoh, is a type of Satan. So what God did is He orchestrated this elaborate story in people's real lives for us to see and understand what Jesus is going to do. Jesus is the person, is God, who can set you free from slavery. People live in bondage when they live according to the system and the ways of the world. See how my dyslexia works? I flip those words. I actually see it right and say it wrong. But the content was still the same. The bondage that we can be set free from is as practical as the bondage of them being set free. Here's Exodus 12, 2 and 3. This month, the month of Nisan, is the first month of the year for you. Tell the people of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each head of the family should choose a young lamb or a young goat, a male, for the family to eat. And what you did is you picked it and you brought it home. And it lived with you. It stayed in the house and you tended it and you took care of it. And you became very familiar with it. And quite often, a cute little year-old lamb, you became very emotionally involved with it. Right? But then verse 6, and the family must take care of this animal until the evening of the 14th day. Now that's important. And I'll show you why. Of the evening of the 14th day of the month, when the animals are to be killed. And there was a ceremonial, specific time that that was to be done. Some of the blood must be put on the doorposts above the door and on the sides of the door where the animals will be eaten. So you put it across the head and down the sides, but if it ever touched the threshold, if you spilled it on the threshold, that was a lethal mistake. You do not walk on the blood of the lamb. But you put it on the sides, which when you begin to look at a cross with blood on it, you begin to get the picture of that. Now, verse 13, the blood on the houses will show me where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's an important concept. When God sees the blood of the sacrifice, he passes over you. When you won't be bothered by the terrible disasters I'm going to bring on Egypt. Now, this last one is important. Remember this day and celebrate each year the festival in my honor. Why we celebrate these festivals is to honor God, is to honor Yeshua. That's why we do it, is to honor God with our lives. So, here to summarize, people of Israel must choose a lamb on the 10th day of the month, and you can use the numeral 10 to write in your blank. You don't have to write it out like I did correctly. Take care of the lamb until the evening of the 14th day when the lamb is to be killed. So for 4 days, it stays in intimate contact with you, right? And at 3 p.m. on this day, you kill it. And what would happen at 3 p.m. is the high priest would go up to the altar. He would slit the throat of the lamb ceremonially for all of Egypt, and he would say, "It is finished." And when you look forward to Good Friday, and at exactly 3 p.m., a man's hanging on the cross, and he says, "It is finished," and he dies, he fulfills what was prescribed in Exodus. And all of what happens in these next few days is an exact fulfillment of that. And the blood must be put on the doorposts of each house. You must apply that door with blood. You can't just kill the lamb. You can't just drain the blood, but you have to put it on the door. You have to paint it on your doorway so everybody that walks by sees that. It's not just the angel of the Lord, but everybody sees it. And lastly, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. What is it that allows God to pass over the sins that we have? It's the blood of the perfect young lamb. Now, when you look at Palm Sunday, here's what it says in Luke 19. While they were untying a donkey, its owner said, "Why are you doing that?" And they said, "Well, the Lord needs it." And they led the donkey to Jesus, and they put some clothes on his back, and they helped Jesus get on. And as they rode, the people spread their clothes on the road in front of him. When Jesus was starting down the Mount of Olives, his large crowd of disciples were happy, and they praised God because of all the miracles they had seen. And they shouted, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God." What they were announcing in their minds was a literal physical king who is going to set them free from Rome, like Moses set them free from Egypt. But the practical reality of what they are doing here is they are choosing the lamb. This is the day that they would choose the lamb. And what they are practically doing is announcing to everybody, "We choose Jesus." Now, verse 45, "And when Jesus entered the temple, he started chasing out the people who were buying and selling things." And there, verse 47, 48, "Each day Jesus kept on teaching in the temple so that the chief priests, the teachers of the law of Moses, and some other important people tried to have him killed. But they couldn't find a way to do it because everyone else was eager and listening to him." Now, those two additives are important for you and I. Now, Palm Sunday, what day was it? It was the 10th day of the month of Nisan. That's the day that you're supposed to choose your lamb. Did the people choose Yeshua? Your blank is, yes, they did. They wholeheartedly chose him on that day. Now, what did he do at the end of the parade? He cleared the temple. What part of the temple? The Gentile part. What the Jews had done is they had set up their marketplace in the part of the court where you and I would be invited in. And what he did in Palm Sunday is he cleared that way out to symbolize you and I are welcome. Gentiles are welcome. Gentiles are supposed to be in the prayerful attitude of the house of the Lord. He did that for you and me because we're not Jewish. My voice cracks when I say that. We're not. It'd be really cool to be a Jew because most all of them come with lots of neat heritage tradition and lots of money. It'd be cool to be Jewish, you know? But we're not. We're Gentiles. How many days did he spend in the temple with them? You know, if you grabbed your Bible and you looked at these passages, Luke 19, if you flipped over there and looked, when you read this in the next couple days, this is the most intense time of Jesus teaching within the temple that he does in his whole ministry. He spends 4 days from sunrise to sunset in the temple. And he teaches them all kinds of really cool stuff. And when you get to the end of chapter 21, it says, during the day, he was teaching in the temple. And at the evening, he spent the night out on the Mount of Olives. And all the people would get up early in the morning and come to him in the temple and listen to him. And then chapter 22 starts Passover. Here's the deal. Jesus spent those 4 days in the temple like that in the fulfillment of the perfect Lamb being questioned, being living with the people in a most intimate way so they would be able to understand that He is the Lamb who fulfills all of that. So, what is that? Huh? Last Supper, painted by Leonardo da Vinci. And it has a date up there too. 1452 to 1519, somewhere in there. Da Vinci painted this picture of the Last Supper. Now, in our day and age, if you look at who is on his right hand and who is on his left hand, who is at his right hand, the favored one? John, the disciple he loved the most. John's on the right side, but what's the Da Vinci Code say? The Da Vinci Code says, that's not John, that's Mary Magdalene. That's Mary, Jesus' mistress, who he has kids with, and they live in France. I've got to travel the world, and if Jesus picked any place for his kids to live, France would not be it. It's the dirtiest, grungiest country. We flew out of Charles de Gaulle Airport. Julie wouldn't sit on any of the things. She stood like this. She didn't even want to set her bags down. It's a grungy place. You know, all you have to do is go there and you know. But that's a direct assault on what we believe to be true, that Jesus' favorite person was John, the Apostle John. And then on his left-hand side is Judas. Judas is right there dipping in the bowl with him. And the Judas papers that just came out, highly publicized over the next few months, you know, you get a lot of publicity for $40 million, are saying that the Bible's not true. Then this document proves it. And you know what? 2,000 years from now, if somebody uncovers a Da Vinci Code and they read it, they'll say, oh, those people back there didn't believe in the Bible because look what this book says. Well, the Judas papers are not written by God-inspired Christian people. They're actually people who are anti-Christian. Marty's probably the only one who could pronounce that. They were narcissistic. It's not pronounced right, but anyway. The point of the story is that stuff's not true. It's not biblical. So, what conclusions can we make? Can you see and understand that the blood of the Lamb saved Israel from the slaughter in Egypt? Can you see that? You got that picture? Okay. Can you see and understand that the blood of Yeshua, the perfect Lamb sacrifice on the cross, is what saves you? Can you see that? It's the only thing. It's not your behavior. It's not your activities. It's not your ability to sing or, you know, your techno-geekness running PowerPoint systems. It's the blood that saves you. Can you see and understand that the blood must be applied to your life? I mean, you could know it's out there and know that it works and yet not have it practically work. How many of you are interested in knowing how I fix the system? Anybody? For a period of 2 weeks, the PowerPoint on the computer wouldn't communicate with the projector. And I kept saying over and over, Lord, I know there's nothing wrong with the computer, and I know there's nothing wrong with the projector. But there's some reason that they don't communicate. So I replaced cables. I cleaned cables. I took cables and went to the garage and used Napa parts cleaner and cleaned cables. And I blew out the female port parts and put it all together, and it still wouldn't talk. Eventually, here's what I discovered. That if you hold your finger on the FN key, which is function, and you push the F8 key, boing, it works. What happens is on the screen pops up this little window, and there's three choices. Do you want just your monitor? Do you want two monitors? Or do you want three monitors? And all you have to do is punch function and F8, and it works. What's the point of the illustration? If you don't apply the blood to your life by grace through faith, you push grace, you push faith, you apply that, it begins to communicate and function in your life. But you have to make a personal application. You can't just say, that's a cool thing that the Jews did back then. That's a cool thing that they did in Passover. You must identify with these things. You must announce that Jesus is the one you choose. You got to hang out with him. And you must identify with the facts that he is the perfect sacrifice. That when they got together on Monday, Thursday, and the Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock at night, goes to 6 o'clock at night. That's their day. And in that day, he got together with them at 6 o'clock at night to celebrate the Passover. But the lamb was slain on what we would call Friday, but they would still call Thursday, at exactly 3 o'clock. And every point in time, when he was at 9 o'clock in front of the Sanhedrin, he was fulfilling a prophecy of Passover. Every single point of this Old Testament story from Exodus is fulfilled in Jesus' life. And you can document that with historical facts. Now, have you accepted his sacrifice for you? Have you personally appropriated and applied that? Have you personally punched those buttons by faith, and when you open your eyes, there it is? It's an amazing wonder. Will you do it today? Will you personally do that today? Will you accept the sacrifice of the Savior for yourself in a new and fresh way? Even if you are already born again, if your processor works fine and your projector works fine, but they're not communicating to each other, if it's not coming out of your life and showing up on the wall every day, apply it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonder of thousands and thousands of years before Jesus coming to fulfill this. You designed it, you drew it, you painted it all out in life pictures, in humans' lives. Thank you for the richness and wonder. I could go on for hours from all the stuff that you showed me. I pray that what you'll do is take and use this feeble attempt at glorifying you to create a desire in people's lives to know the facts in a generation that is being barraged with false, blasphemous lies. That we would know the facts and our lives would be secure in that. And that we would know the truth and be able to communicate the truth to other people in a practical, historically, yet biblical correct way for your truth to impact and change their lives too. Now today, if any one of us have never applied that blood of the Lamb to our life by grace through faith, I pray that they would choose to do that. And if they have questions, that they would have the courage implanted in them by your Holy Spirit to have them talk to me or Jewel about that. So we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do. And we look forward with anticipation going into this week they call Holy Week and celebrating the Lamb has come, the King has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.